Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Shit Talk and Banter podcast. Yes, that noise that you can hear in the background is not the original track that I use for the intro. It's actually this week's guest new release, Salvage, with his new song Kickstarter. Me and Sal go back a long way. We actually met each other in Fiji, and now he's a music producer and he's playing at festivals. He's a resident DJ. So this here episode was fucking great just to catch up with him and obviously, you know, see what he's been doing in the music producing world. So if you're into music, which I think everyone is, and particularly if you're into, you know, DJ sets like house music, techno, you name it, this is definitely the one for you. If you haven't already, please go on to Instagram and follow me, also on Twitter as well. I've got Reddit, but I don't know if you can follow people on that. I don't know what you do on Reddit, actually, to be honest. But if you could subscribe to this channel, and if you could leave a like and share, that would be much appreciated. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Shit Talk and Banter podcast. That song that you just heard playing, that was Sal's new single that just came out. I actually asked him before we start recording if I could play it as the intro, so it's kind of weird because like I'm going to edit it into the podcast. apologies as well for my camera. I don't know, my computer just decided to be slow today. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry that it's like back in the 90s where it's like jiggering about, but like the robot. But I am, yeah, you can hear me perfectly fine. So just bear with us. Sal, you can see and hear him as well. How you keep it, man?
Honestly, I'm keeping pretty good, you know, just staying busy, really excited about, you know, musical endeavors and, you know, direction. But I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Like I said, just rushed home and from the 9 to 5, and I crammed in some instant noodles. So if I do fart or start making like weird noises or like indigestions on my throat, just, you know, it's because I had the instant noodles really quickly and they were probably still hot. So most likely I will shit myself. But yeah, anyway, it's not about me. It's about Sal. Salvage is his tag that he goes by, music producer and DJ. Does it sound weird whenever I say that?
No, honestly, it's fine. I'm just used to both. It's just like,
yeah, you're used to it now. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, for people who've obviously listened to podcasts at the start, I came into contact with Sal whenever me and Emma and partner we're in Fiji and we needed someone to take a picture, and Sal's got like the best picture ever of me and her. So thank you very much for that. Like, you'll always be a part of our lives. Isn't that so funny?
Honestly, it is. I always think of the fact of the irony of how we met.
I know.
Both sitting next to each other. And then, you know, like we got off and then picture time and then there you go.
Yeah. How amazing was that? Like that boat cruise in Fiji.
Honestly, I kind of miss it. I really want to go back just to like, enjoy like the whole like ride, because yeah, you know, it's just Fiji, you know, after being reported lost to the U.S. embassy. I think it's another great story to go back.
yeah definitely. It was so like, it was just surreal. Like the water was so blue, the islands were something that you just see in movies, and then we had these Fijians who were just like singing like and playing the guitar, and it reminded me of your guy who does the Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah,
I forget what his name is, the big guy from Hawaii. Yeah. But that's what it reminded me of. I was like, you can't get this anywhere else. Like, it's fucking, like, we've actually dipped into the movies to get this.
Literally, it's like we were being recorded as we were in the boat.
Yeah, exactly. That was an amazing experience. So, yeah, I'm thankful that you got the best picture ever of me and Emma. I still have it as my screensaver. I wonder, do I actually have it as my screensaver? Yeah, I do. There we go.
Hey. Everyone. Yeah, see. I remember that picture. Yeah
that's it. So cool. No, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, so I mean, before we did talk like about you obviously, you know, starting the music, but it kind of like you were only just beginning it, so like now it's like really taken off because you've had like a few you know, songs out, or tracks. I don't know why I said songs, it's the same thing, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, with the music that you're sort of doing now, I've always kind of wanted to know, because it's kind of like, well, for me, like listening,
It's kind of like a mix of like dance, techno, house, and like some dubstep. I mean, what would you sort of pin it down to? Like, what would you say like your genre is of music?
Honestly, I've been asked this like a lot of times. By myself, actually. I ask myself the same questions. They're like, "Hey, man, you make music?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And they're like, "What genre?" And I'm just like, "Ha, that's a very good question." So I like to consider it something around the thing called chill step. I don't even know if that's a word. It's basically like, if I could refer it to someone, have you heard of San Holo by any chance?
No, but I think I know what you're on about because I follow a playlist on Spotify called Chill Beats. Have you ever heard of it? No, there's loads of advertisements on Instagram, and it's kind of, now that you've said that, it kind of reminds me of your music now.
Did it have like the little Naruto like in a desk? And is it like chill steps or chill playlist? I've seen those. Or it has like a little like fruit.
Do you know what it had? It had Bart Simpson, and then it was like all trippy.
Yeah. And he's just chilling, you know, like animated. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. So that's your music. That's what you're kind of going for.
Honestly, I guess so. I mean, I like, the funny thing is that I love like bass house because it's kind of hypey and it hypes you up, but I love creating kind of more like slow, deepful, you know, sounds. I don't know. I guess it just gets me like chill, because if I'm being honest, everything I hear in the, like in my vehicle, when I drive my vehicle, my fucking truck, so sorry. Or you know, so, in my vehicle with four wheels, basically it's all like it's just a bunch of like chill music, you know, like really like chill. Sometimes it gets a little bit depressing, but it's like it has nothing to do with me. I just love that little, like, you know, I guess that warm feeling of the sound when you like put this music in, it just makes you like kind of like go into like another, I guess, like universe, like, where you're driving here and just crash and shit. But I've been trying to get into more hype music. Why? Because, well, I like playing that kind of stuff of music, you know, like if I'm going to produce music, I want to keep it in the way where it can be chill, but it can also be kind of hyped. So it's like chill, but then they get too excited. So I guess you can say, like, you know how Rufus the Soul has some few like songs that are chill, but then they get you like excited at the end, or like something.
I love Rufus the Soul.
Yeah, Rufus the Soul is a fucking legend.
They are brilliant. They're so good. They're from Australia, aren't they?
I have no idea. That's the real question. I have no idea.
I think they are. And they obviously went over to America to make it big time, because I think they played that. They done a set on, have you ever seen it? The Joshua Tree set they done on YouTube.
I haven't.
Oh man, watch it. It's fucking, is amazing. I forget what one of their like good songs is. I think it might be, it's something to do with water. And they have like all the lights like set up around Joshua Tree, and like the lights are obviously vibing with them, you know, doing the sound, and it's just spectacular. It's at nighttime and all. It's just really, really nice. You should definitely check it out if obviously you're a big fan of
them. Honestly, I'll check it out right now.
Yeah, man, it's really good. Like, you could just have it on, like, it that's what I like about that genre. Like, you could just be like, I know it sounds so cliche, you could just be chilling and like you have that on in the background. Like, that's what I kind of like about it.
Yeah, basically that's kind of what I do all the time. It's just like chill music in the background. And then, well, obviously when you're in a party, you know, you're like, yeah, you know, stuff. But yeah, so I would consider, I guess, the genre going to chill step. And I've been trying to go into a little bit of more bass house, just because it's like, I guess it's grown into me during my recent gigs, where I've like started with like dubstep. I started actually mixing dubstep, which is an irony. My first show was a dubstep show. And then it's like, I went to like two dubstep shows, and I played Big Room, and then I started playing house, and then I went to bass house, and I'm just like, I love bass house. I'm gonna stick in between house and bass house. That's the ideal.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I'm trying to transition into it. So I want to consider it like a chill bass house. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. I mean, you have to have different flavors, don't you, to make the fucking perfect recipe. So I think, yeah, you experimenting with that is definitely, it's gonna pay off. Some of the music that you've already released is fucking class. I think there's one, what song is it? Sorry, is it Change?
That's the very first song I made, actually.
No, it wasn't Change. It was the one after that. What was the other one? Infinite Time. I have Infinite Time like in my gym playlist, because like I love it. So all the play, if the numbers just keep on going up every single day, that's just me. So just letting you know.
Actually, no, I appreciate it. I actually do see, like, I see, because you have the Spotify for Artists, and it tells you where all the like different people have played like stuff like that, and I do see like different areas, like, you know, across the pond, and I'm like, oh my god, like, I think I know who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Emma will have it on sometimes as well, like if we're having a drink and stuff like that, there, oh, come on, and then I'm just like, we know her.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Honestly, that's also one of my favorite songs. Infinite Times was like the best thing ever.
I think out of all of them, yeah, I think it's probably my favorite. I do like the new one. I wanted to ask you a question. So obviously you've released a new one, Kickstarter. With that, are you the guy that's whispering at the end?
Oh, it is. Yeah, the guy, that little,
it
like,
was.
It was me, but honestly, I was subconscious. The funny part was I was here in my room and I was like, you know what? I feel like it's missing like some word, you know, like something. Yeah. But then I just started like looping it forever and ever. And I'll just hear like, you know, like humming like a total weirdo. Like if you were to walk into my room, you're like, what's up with this guy? I was like, and then finally it just clicked in and I was like, okay, yeah. And literally I got my phone and I was like, literally in my mind, I was playing the song and then I would just record it. And then I put it into my computer and I was like, all right, let's make it work.
Wow, that is crazy.
But honestly, I don't know. It's the first time I ever put my voice into the music because in any of the songs, I don't have my voice. It's like either my friend's voice or like a quick, you know, like sample that you can like get, stuff like that. So, yeah.
And like, obviously, like, I know you, like you said, like you're experimenting and stuff. Like, how long does it take you to like come up with, you know, because it's only like 2.5 minutes, that song. So like, how long does it take like for you to actually, you know, get it finalized?
Honestly, so the original process when I make the song, it's like kind of fast. In a day, you kind of lay out the whole song, and then like actually just in hours of you sitting down, because you get the idea, you just start going with it. And then the longest part, which I guess would take, depending on how fast, I usually like to take a month, even though my release dates have been like completely whack. Like it was like a lot of months to separate. It just, the mixing part takes forever. So the good thing is that it takes along like probably like through 2 to 3 weeks to get it mixed and mastered correctly and how you want it. Because the bad thing here is after the day is done and you finish the song, you will hear it and you're like, oh, you know what? It's missing something. Oh, you know what? Let me do this here. Oh, you know what? But you don't want to let it too long. So I like to say like the recipe is a month, the ideal. Yeah. Because if you release one song a month, it has enough time where you have the creative idea in the beginning, lets you like, you know, polish it, make it pretty, and then release it. Because then if you keep working on it, you might fuck it up.
Yeah.
But that song Kickstarter actually is, I want to say like 3 years old or four. Because I had it saved with just the whole intro and the like up to the rise up, and that's it. Like that's all that it had. And then one day I just sat down, opened my computer in the old project section, and I was like, oh, look at this. And I was like, oh my God, I got an idea.
That's crazy, man. So like, it's just like sitting there and then you're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to go ahead. So I take it you have like, would you have loads of projects like that where they're just like kind of sitting there waiting for you to, you know, fucking actually put the water in the soil?
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I have like 6 songs that they're just like starts of like little snippets. Like one is a full, I guess, 2 minutes, but it was me playing on the piano and I was just thinking it was a bit like really like nice mellow melody. And I was like, I'm gonna record it before I forget. And I just literally like play it all. It's some parts are a little bit offbeat because, well, it was like, you know, without a metronome and I'm not a fully artist, like as in like piano master. But that's one project that I want to release, but that one's really chill. Like that one, the idea for that one, that was recorded, I think, like a year ago. That one is actually to make it a Rufus the Soul style, you know, like super chill.
Yeah.
I'd like to make it at least 4 minutes. Right now it's at 2:30, but, you know, adding all that like, different stuff like that, it'll probably go up to 3 or 4 minutes, which I'm pretty excited. But that's one. There's another one where I was bored in New Zealand, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was like sitting at the table in the kitchen and I was thinking about like the Mexican roots. So I made it kind of like a cumbia. Do you know what a cumbia is?
Is that like where they sit around the campfire and say, are you saying kumbaya? No, you're not. You're not.
No, no. No, no, no.
Not the guy who's not from America or from Mexico.
Well, I mean, honestly, now I'm going to say it that way. Because kumbaya is a, you know, classical Mexican genre.
Just ignore me.
It's honestly like something like around that. It's a nice like upbeat, funny melody that you can joke around with. And, you know, it just kind of goes on from there. Because some are just literally like 30 seconds where you sat down and I was like, oh my God. And then the idea just like disappeared in the air. Yeah.
Brilliant. No, I love that, man. That's so sick that you have, well, at least you have like things, you know, to keep on going back to. And I suppose that's kind of like where the art form lies, isn't it? Like, and if you're not happy with it as well, like, and you keep on adding to it, it just shows like what like sort of level you've got for yourself.
Oh, I feel like a lot of my friends that also produce, like, it's the same story. They're like, yeah, man, I have like a folder of unfinished projects and it's just like this whole like style. And then one day you just sit down your computer and you're like, I don't see what I used to have. And then the idea just sparks, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question about the nutrients thing. Like, where did that come from? Is that like a personal joke or something between you and your mates? Or
honestly, so that came from my grandma. I guess, how do you say caldo? You know, like a soup, that has, I guess, like, you know, like vegetables, and it has like some piece of beef.
Okay, yeah.
I guess we just call it soup.
Yeah.
but in Spanish, you call it caldo.
Okay.
So then, she would always tell me, because like, when I was a kid, I was like, I don't want to eat the soggy vegetables. I was like, oh, I saw soggy lettuce, and you know, like, oh, I was like, yeah. I didn't like it. So then she'd be like, just drink. In Spanish, she would say, "En el caldo están los nutrientes." So if you translate that in English, it's like the nutrients are in the juice. You know, like in the soup juice.
Yeah.
So then one day I was just being like, you know, retarded, and I was like, yeah, man, you know, it's because the nutrients are in the juice. You gotta stay juicy. And then they were like, what? And I was like, I don't know, man. It just came out. And then like from there, I was like, I'm gonna pick that. Like, I was like, that's just so ironic. Like, it's so ideal.
Yeah.
And then I came up with, every time I'm like, yeah, man, you gotta get the nutrients, you know?
Yeah, I love that. So like, for anyone, obviously, he explained it there, but yeah, in his bio, or if like you're releasing a new song, you'll say, get your nutrients, and then like if you're closing out someone, you'll be like, yeah, stay juicy. So yeah, no, I thought I would always ask, because I was kind of wondering why he say it, but that's good. At least you have like your own sort of calling card, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It actually the idea came up after working in the recording studio like a year ago, where I guess I want to call my mentor. He was basically my manager, but right, I can say mentor. And in that studio, they help upcoming artists, you know, like kind of move forward. So they tell you like, oh, what you need, and kind of like little tips and stuff.
Yeah.
He said, you have to create your most artistical version of yourself and have like, not a theme, but something that defines, you know, like something like specific, like, for example, you know, like slushy, like, you know, even like the little sound, how he says it. And if you think of other artists like Martin Garrix, you think, you know, like the Big X, stuff like that, or, you know, like a lion for some reason, or like Seven Lions, you know, you just think of lions. And I'm like, good, that's cool. So then I was like, you know what, I would like for people to kind of identify me, and they would say, oh, something about nutrients. I'm like, oh yeah, salvage, you know, like that's what I would like people to use in their daily life. And yeah, be like, oh yeah, you know, like let's put some nutrients or something, I don't know.
Yeah, no, man, I love that. I think that was brilliant. That is, it's good to kind of have that. And like you said, if there's other people who are obviously, you know, they've made it, like that's good to fucking follow in their footsteps and do something similar. With the I think we've kind of, yeah, we've talked about obviously the songs that you've released, but you've also sort of made a big step in, you know, actually performing in front of people. So like, how did that come about? Like, were you always going to that club in El Paso, and then did you just ask to like get into it, or did like someone refer you, or how did that come about?
So actually, if I'm being totally honest, I have like a year and a half of like performing barely. And it all started because in Beacon Hill Recording Studios, where I would work, one of my friends, he was like, hey man, you should come to this meeting, you know, like if you want to start DJing and stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. And I just kind of like, you know, brush it off like, oh yeah, actually, you know, the time where you're like, yeah, you'll go, but you never go. Something like that. And then one day I was like, you know what, like, fuck it, I'm going, because, you know, like, it sounds interesting. It's time to take a step. And I joined this team called Wasted. And Wasted is a company that throws events. So like, you've heard of Insomniac, right? Like the EDC. It's basically the exact same thing, but, you know, like it's another company starting from like basically the bottom, right? So they throw shows and stuff like that. And the people that open up for those artists are the DJs in that team.
Right.
So that's actually how I got to perform, because I joined their team. And then they were like, hey, this is what you gotta do, you know, like to perform, basically, you know, promote and stuff like that. And then they're like, whenever you're ready, just let us know and we'll put you on. And be mindful, I had no idea how to use a CDJ whatsoever. The CDJ 3000s, I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the thing with the podcasters, like is it the Trimixer or the, what's it called? This is the way I'm describing it. You can tell me if I'm wrong. I should probably just shut the fuck up and then you can tell me, but I want to see if I'm right. So it's kind of like a board, and then it will have like, you know, some of the like buttons that you press. Is that it? No.
You're not wrong. That's the mixer.
Okay. Right. Cool. Yeah.
so
it's kind of right.
Yeah, you're kind of right. I mean, you're on the right spot. I'm pretty sure you see it. You're like, yeah, that one. You know, like that meme from Leo DiCaprio, like, you know, like that.
Yes. Yeah. Leo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. You're pointing at TV like that. Yeah. It's it's basically like the one mixer where it has like a little screen and then you move it and stuff like that. It's basically
Yes. I know now.
Like
yes.
That, but separate. You know, like. That part is separate.
Yeah, just that there, but yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I've seen DJs with that, and I think I've seen other, not just DJs, but I've seen other people with it, like mixing shit.
Yeah, those things are great. They're just so expensive.
I would say so.
But yeah, I never use those. They're the same as these. You know, it's the same concept. It's just the only difference is you don't need a computer. You just take a USB and you know, you plug it in, and it has like that screen that you would see in your computer is now like in front of you in a little screen like this.
Oh, okay, and cool.
Work with that. I had never used those actually. And I remember I was postponing. They were like, hey man, come on, let's go. Let's put you on. And I was like, no, I'm like nervous. You know, like, fuck no, I don't want to do this. And then one day I was like, you know what? Like I saw a quote that like, you're never going to be ready. So just do it. And I was like, I mean, they're not wrong. All right, fuck it. You know, I'll just fucking do it. Yeah. And yeah, I learned to mix in CDJs like 3 days prior to the event. And then I went to the event and just started playing. I played in front of like 12 people because that's what they do when you're a beginner. I guess, or like a newbie. They're like, you know, we'll put you in the opening slot at like 7:30 or 8. And I'm like, perfect. That's fine. And I was playing for like my 12 friends that came. And I was like, yeah, bartenders. And I kid you not, I was hitting bricks. I really was.
Yeah, of course you would be.
There was no one, but I was so nervous. And that's where it all started. Like, I guess the beginning was really like nervous, like nerve wracking. But then once I mid set, I was like, this is great. I fucking love this. And I just kept fucking going, you know, like it was a beautiful ending. And that's how I started actually mixing. And from that day on, I've been opening for so many DJs. It's so great. I've played. So the first one was with a dubstep DJ called Murata. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No, I haven't. No.
He's honestly a lot of DJs that they brought. Some I don't know. And some are like, wow, they're legends. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Shit. But, you know, like Murata, there's one event we did called Bass Desert, where it was a whole like dubstep show kind of festival thingy. Yeah. And they had like, they literally had a bunch of different dub artists. They were like bigger, obviously, than, I don't know how you pronounce it. Owemus, something like that. Yeah. It's a weird name. But anyways, like stuff like that. Then I, you know, transitioned when I played with Dioro, 4B, Walker Royce, Abstract, also played with Moxie, you know, all those different like, artists are playing. And then I even went to playing Mumbaton. Do you know what that is?
No.
Mumbaton is basically the reggaeton version of electronic music.
Oh, right. Okay. Very good.
And, you know, playing like I was, I think it was Et Cetera, Et Cetera. And this last one was just kind of branded. But, you know, just playing all the shows, it's been getting better and better. So I started like a year ago with playing 12 people to my biggest show playing for like 600, 700 people.
Fucking hell, that was crazy. And
honestly, I was like, it's just such an unreal feeling, man. Like playing those gigs, like has slowed me down on the production side, but it's gotten me so much confident and bigger on the mixing side, which I think is a big plus, because I love seeing the people, like, you know, like you can only see people in the front, right? The rest are just like, you know, like kind of shadows. But just seeing how certain types of ways you mix and sort of energy that you kind of place in the thing, how they react to it, it's just such an unreal feel. Like you honestly don't know these strangers and you fucking love them without even like saying a word. You're like, it's insane. And there's just so much love when you play, and it's just amazing. Like everyone there gives zero fucks about what's happening in our life. It's just like focused right there and then to what's happening, to their literally like ecstasy of like happiness of being in the moment with music. And I'm just like,
oh,
I fucking love it.
That's what one of my questions was going to be. I was going to say to you, like, I mean, you're controlling like their feelings, and like you obviously, like you're probably the best sort of person in the room to read the room. Like you know what's happening and how people are going to react. And I must give you like somewhat like a lot of power, but obviously like it gives you, obviously like you just explain, satisfaction.
Honestly, it does. It's really insane. When I prep my like my sets, I put in like 70 songs, which is honestly a little bit more than an hour. It's like probably like an hour and a half too. But the reason I do is because I love reading the room. You know, like I will start mixing my style, and then if I see that for some reason it's just not clicking in yet with you guys, I'll switch it up real quick so I can get you guys in the mood, you know. And then then, you know, like boom, go back to like the OG style that I usually play. And it kind of works with it, you know, like, cause people will end up being like, you know what, like you killed it, cause they get excited, or maybe they're too shy to even like move. Cause I've gotten through a transition of having no people to kind of started people to having a lot of people, but nowhere in the middle. And, you know, it's like a whole process. And yeah. I don't know. I want to say that I liked to give them the confidence to be themselves. And that's how I became. Like, if I see them, they're not jumping, it's because maybe they're a little bit shy or they don't want to, you know, like, oh, I don't know. So I like to give them, switch it up so that they feel confident enough to just be themselves and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, man. That makes sense. Yeah, and you know, actually, I feel that. Sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, my bad. I'll tell you quick. It's just a funny story. I fell on stage. I didn't even tell you.
No way.
Yeah. It was, I paid for Valentino Khan, which was one of my biggest like crowds.
Oh, and I think I've heard of that before. Oh, wait, I've probably seen it off your Instagram.
Yeah. I fell, man. There was like big speakers on the front, and I had jumped on these speakers for like four times. And the last time I jumped, you know, before getting on set, my foot hit, like here's the speaker, and it hit like right at the tip.
Oh no.
I fell on the speaker and I was like, oh. And then everyone was like, oh.
No way.
And then,
you
know, I jump up and then they're like, eh. And I was like, eh. I'm obviously here crying in pain, you know, but you know, they don't know that. Yeah. And then, you know, keep going with the drop. And then when I jump off from the speaker to the stage, I hit myself with my head in the roof, like the roof. No. The roof light hit my head. Like to this day, it's crooked. It's like this.
Oh, man. That's so funny. It's like the beat, like the whole set just goes quiet and then you just bump back up and then you hit the bass and then everyone just goes nuts again. It's like a movie.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, oh, my God. And when I got off, I was like, I'm in pain. I see. Yeah. I'm in pain.
Man, that is so fucking hilarious. I wanted to obviously talk about one of the main reasons. Well, like obviously wanted to talk to you as well, but you did mention to me that you were going to be playing at a festival, which I think is fucking unbelievable. So can you give any details on that, on like where it is and how did that come about as well?
Yes. Okay. So the festival that I'll be playing for the first time is actually in Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua, which is Mexico, but it's a border state with Texas. So here's Texas, and then Chihuahua is like right here, and that's Mexico. So the Ciudad Juárez is a border city to El Paso, which is where I live.
Yes.
And it's going to be the first actually electronic festival in the city. It's the first one like ever. It's going to be three stages. And we have, honestly, some of the DJs I don't recognize. I recognize like a few, like three, like I guess bigger ones. But their idea is that they have all these stages to bring all these like different artists, and they're gonna dedicate one stage, actually, I think it's pretty cool, to just pure girl DJs.
Oh,
and it's kind of like an incentive and like empowering yeah. You know, women. And I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, it's really, I want to say it's kind of rare, but there's less girl DJs in the industry, and there's more guy DJs.
So I think only knew one. I think is it Nervo.
Nervo, they're big, okay? Those twins are just, if they're seeing that, you, big fan.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean. It gives them obviously more of a platform, doesn't it, to, you know, obviously break out, because like you said, there's not enough girl DJs out there.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like having them like this, like dedicated one full stage, it gives them more, I guess, outreach, you know, because they're like, oh my God, Let's go see all the girl DJs, like see who are they? Yeah. Instead of like, oh, I think that someone's gonna be here, I think over there. And like, no, it'd be cool to have them like, you know, like in that era, because then maybe they might be the main stage, you know. I don't know. Yeah. Like it's crazy.
I think it is a good idea. It definitely is, because I mean, if they were gonna go up on stage with, you know, maybe some of the bigger acts, you would assume that the bigger acts, is like obviously more guys. So for them to actually maybe get the prime time, like the same time as maybe another big act, that'll, you know, that'll fucking boost confidence and give them more exposure. So I definitely,
I get all that. It's just pure hype in that stage for all the artists in that area. And well, going back, the way I found out about this actually was because I went, I guess I followed some DJs from Juarez when I went to this bar and they were like, yeah, man, like, what's up? Like, you DJ too? I'm like, yeah, of course. I DJ was Wasted. And they're like, oh my God, you DJ Wasted? What? And I was like, yeah, you know, just, you know, chilling here. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, well, I can see you DJs. And I had went to go check out these two girl DJs that I had seen that they play on EDC Mexico, but I had never heard of them. And I was like, interesting. So I was like, I would like to go see what their style is. It turns out they play tech house. Okay. I was like, cool. You know, they're like, all right, cool. And, you know, I got to meet them, talk to them. They're pretty cool. And from that little experience is how I got in contact, I guess, with, you know, the event. Cause they were like, oh yeah, one of my friends is playing this event. I'm like, cool. And they're like, let me show you to this one guy. And then that one guy turned out to be one of the, I want to say founders, but I guess sponsors or co-partners for the event. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey man, nice to meet you. And then I told them, you know, like, oh, I DJ with Wasted, blah, blah. And they're like, what? You know, I guess being with Wasted gave me a lot of, I guess, taking me for real, like credibility. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I started. Cause from there, I was like, hey man, so what do I need to do to play this festival? Cause I want to keep growing. And I'm like, oh, you know, send me a press kit. And I was like, cool. Do you know what a press kit is?
No, fuck me. Is that like kind of like a tape recording or something of your set?
That's honestly, I didn't know either. I was just like, imagine you asking me and then the guy's like, yeah, of course, man. And I'm like, no idea what it is.
I'll get you that by the end of the day.
Yeah, literally. And I'm like, shit. I was like, how the fuck am I going to do this shit? but it turns out it's like a DJ resume. It just says like, you know, you put your like videos, you put your bio, you put in like all your, where you've like played. Oh, it's all that big stuff. It's like a whole folder and like photos and stuff. And so I got one ready, you know, like I asked one of the Wasted teams, I guess you can consider him my manager in a sense. I was like, hey man, so what's a press kit? He's like, oh, here, copy this. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was like making my own stuff and I sent it over and I was like, okay, you know, I was just waiting, you know, chilling, no response. And then later on, they were like, hey, this girl's one of the other girls that like is also like working with the partners for the stuff. And they're like, cool. So I got her number, you know, texted her like, hey, salvage. I was wondering how to, you know, go into the festival. And they're like, oh, send me a press kit. And I'm like, oh, okay. This time it was super fast. I was like, here, you know, like, hey, there you go. It's done. And I was like, yeah, I sent it to this other person. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And then literally I went to EDC and that same day, like I remember I sent it to her on a Thursday. And then EDC was, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And on Monday, when I was like flying back, she texted me back. She's like, hey, so I got back with partners. And then she juiced it so nicely. She was like, she basically made it seem like those things were like, oh, thank you, but we're not going to take you kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I was already all sad and shit. And then she's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're in, you're welcome. And I was like, oh, yeah.
No way.
And then I was literally in an airplane. And I kid you not, I think I scared the lady next to me because it was like 10 and there was, you know, turn off the lights. And then I was like, yeah. And then she was like, the fuck? And I was like, oh, sorry, man.
And that is beautiful. Like, I'm so happy for you. Like, it's obviously going to be like a milestone in your career. And it kind of happened to a nicer person. Like, so, and you're definitely working hard. So, and you can see that on your Instagram. So definitely, man, congratulations. Like, I really hope you enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. That's actually really nice. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a normal kid, you know, trying to make it out there.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. Well, listen, I think we're going to run out of time because Zoom's fucking being an arsehole trying to make me upgrade. I'm going to hold out as long as I can until I have to upgrade.
Yeah, it says we have a minute.
Yeah, I know. It's so annoying. Or maybe if someone wants to let me know if they use anything else, that'd be great. I could, you know, talk longer. But you're probably sick and tired of hearing my voice anyway. But no, probably not. Paul's got a nice voice.
Yeah, I love hearing your accent. I'm always like, one of these days, I'm going to just pull up and just start, you know, talking like
go for it. Can you do a quick impression?
Oh shit. I don't know, mate. I'm just here to make music.
That was fucking sick. I love that. Sal, before we run out of time, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Well, guys, you know, you can find me honestly on every platform. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I use Instagram most than anything. But Snapchat, you know, you can always put salvage_music is my Instagram. And I mean, I always respond to everyone. You know, I always think it's good to give back to people that support it. So if you ever have any questions, stuff like that, I mean, I'm happy to help. And yeah, I mean, I appreciate all, like, for having me on here. It's obviously, I love like talking to you, and I love being on your podcast. So, you know,
amazing. I appreciate it. We'll have you in the future many times more, and hopefully I get VAP in your next couple of festivals in Europe.
Yeah, I got you. I'll be like, hey, I'm here.